All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a very new and exciting episode of the EITF project. For this episode, we have someone who has a career that I've always wanted to have. You know, ever since I was little, I always dreamed of being a journalist, a creative content editor. And, you know, I've been very inspired by what our guest is doing because I've been following his work on LinkedIn. I've been looking at all his interviews. Without further ado, we have Tanmoy Mitra on the show. Thank you for joining us, Tanmoy. This is going to be a very interesting interview and informative for me as well.
Thank you, Nandini, for inviting me for your project. I hope I can answer some of the questions you're going to throw up. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Pleasure.
So I'm going to dive right into the first question. You know, this is one question that we ask all of our experts because we feel like it kind of shapes your career in a way when you start out. Our first question is, what was your first job? And what is one thing that you learned in your first job that you carry with you till today?
Well, it's been a long time, Nandini. It's almost over two decades, 22 years probably. But yes, I remember I started as a web designer. Although I am a student of science, I always had an inclination toward journalism. But to get into mainstream journalism was not easy since I was not trained in journalism. And during those days, 90s, we had very few disciplines, if you know. It was science, arts, and commerce. That's about it. So my first job was with a digital business magazine called Domain B. Now the company is called The Information Company. So that was a company started by an ex-media person, husband and wife. I started there as a web designer. And gradually, I picked up journalism, writing, and then, things rolled on. But yes, if there's a takeaway, I would say it's work ethics. So that is something I could say I always carried it from right from my first job, and it's still happening. So I would, if I want to break down my work ethics, it's commitment, sincerity, and professionalism.
That's an awesome answer. And you know, I can relate in a way a little bit, because you said when you wanted to be a journalist but you didn't really know where to start. It was the same for me. I think ever since I was little, I've always been like talking to people, getting questions out of them. My mom always says that you correct people before you talk. But one of the things for me was, other than the usual visual communications degree that people usually ask you to go for right out of college, I didn't know what was the path to take to be a successful journalist. You see like the Barkha Dutt, and you want to be someone like her, and you want to travel the world, and you want to like put yourself in those situations, but you never know where to start, and you don't know what the path is going to look like. For someone in tech, right, that path is very clearly laid out for you. This is what you do, this is your next step, and you know, compared to journalism. So compared to when you started out, comparing to where you are today, there is a lot of change in times and things like that, right? So do the usual visual communication degrees work back then, and will they work today to have a career in journalism?
Nandini, it always helps to have a platform. Platform meaning when you have a education in a particular discipline and you plan to carry out in that same discipline as a professional in journalism. If I was trained in journalism or maybe in arts or fine arts, I could have started right away. But then, having said that, it's a theory, or you can say it's a theory phase in your academic career. But when you start your work, it's the practical experience that actually holds. When you are hands-on with something, that is the time you learn. So learning on the job is very vital. That is what keeps you going, and you should always have that desire and inclination to succeed, and you should always enjoy what you're doing. That is the only way you're going to succeed. So having said that, yes, definitely having studied in that discipline helps, but then you can always choose a path if you have that determination and inclination. Like I said, the interest, you can always succeed.
It all comes down to the exposure you end up having, and then maneuvering through the system to figure out, oh, this is the type of journalism that I want to be doing, right? Maybe so investigation journalism or broadcast journalism or whatever.
Right, right. So it's like I said, you learn on the job. It's going to be difficult. There will be hurdles. Sometimes you may think that, am I doing the right thing? But then you should have that desire. You should see the bigger picture. it's always like we say, although it's a cliche, the end of the tunnel, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. But yeah, that's the fact. You know, with experience, I can tell you, if you have that desire, you know, you want to be something, you want to be there, you just go for it.
I think yeah. It's common even in industries like tech or the industry that Nandini comes from, right? Because you end up saying, hey, school can teach you X, but when you come into the industry teaches you 100X. And sometimes you feel like, oh, what, I didn't learn anything in school because I'm learning something completely different out in the industry, which is eye-opening and which is telling me the path I should, in fact, end up taking to get to where I want to be going.
Right, absolutely.
When I think absolutely. Back to my school days, there's like 2% of what I learned in college that I'm actually using today. But like you said, getting hands-on on whatever you're working, learning from people around you, I think, is very important.
That's the right thing. You know, you've put. I mean, you've hit the nail. Learning from people around you, you should be curious and you should observe things. You know, that's one of the secrets I can share.
Because you are a journalist, I was curious to pick your brains on. You see this new wave of independent journalists, like I see Faye D'Souza or Palki Sharma on YouTube having this wave. What has caused this whole new wave of independent journalists in digital media? And how is it affecting your mainstream media, quote unquote mainstream media, be it print or be it audiovisual? How has it changed? How are you looking at this change in landscape overall?
So, Karthik, very good question. The thing about any discipline, be it journalism or tech, you always need to innovate and learn. So there are a lot of things you learn, you unlearn, you again learn it. But the thing is, you have to be at par with the latest technology and what is happening in the world. I'm very happy that, you know, nowadays there are so many courses for journalism, be it digital, print. But see, there is a core value or core ethics or core learning, that knowledge you get from journalism. It's about getting into the discipline and start working. Then you can always find your path. Yes, print, unfortunately, is, I won't say dying out in India. It's happening because of our reading habits. But then print is expensive. It's difficult to sustain because of the, you know, the cost involved. Whereas digital, it's accessible. You can adopt easily. And you can reach out to the global audience, you know, with these. So coming back to your question on, you know, the type of journalists or the dreams which we are seeing coming out of the mainstream, I would say that way. It's fantastic, and it's happened because of the kind of exposure people are getting. The YouTube, the social media channels like Instagram and LinkedIn is obviously a little bit, I would say, corporate. But then, you know, there are new age platforms like Reddit, and I mean, you people are better equipped to talk about this than me. But then, you know, the kind of exposure people are getting, having a chance to hear people from different parts of the world, different cultures. So culture is also very important. So once you get a hang of different cultures, I mean, that is a time when you can actually think of different perspectives. You can put yourself in shoes of someone else. For example, if you are, say, communicating with a journalist in Spain, there's a deep-rooted culture which they have and our culture. Then you get a different perspective towards things. So it boils down to, I would say, exposure. That is how people are learning and trying out new things. So I'm all okay for, you know, this new age journalism, and that helps people like me to learn more things. You should always have that desire to learn, and that is going to keep you active in this field. Otherwise, you know, you're going to fade out.
That's a very good thing to bring up, right? That there are so many social media platforms that are open for people to learn from, to get exposed to. But I also feel like it's a two-way conversation. Now you also have, like, if you're looking at an interview, you also have access to the person that, you know, you're listening to, right? You can comment, you can, I mean, they may or may not see it, but you can at least put forward your voice and feel like you are part of that conversation. So I think that is also one, like, huge thing that has happened to journalism. Like, you can read in the papers in earlier days, but I mean, if I have an opinion about it, there's no way that I can make it heard, like, to the hundreds of readers that are reading it, right? To start a debate or conversation.
Right, it's right. been. But I'm sorry, Randini, I just want to add one thing to this. ultimately, as I said, the core ethics, that remains the same. There are basic steps which you do. That is, you start with the research, you study about your subject and ensure that, you know, you get the right information, because ultimately your job is to present a correct information, something that is ethical, that is non-plagiarized, to your audience, which is knowledgeable, which will interest your audience. So see, those steps are, you know, these are steps which journalists have been following for hundreds of years. So these won't change. Yes, the style of getting the information, the speed, the technology, those things have changed, but your process remains the same.
Yeah, you know, you kind of just stepped into my next question, and I'm glad that you brought up reporting, you know, correct information and things like that. Now that we're talking about social media, right, there are so many ways for people to comment and things like that. And with all the different movements going on, there is a need to be politically correct as well on what journalists report, right? And most of the times when a journalist reports something, it's on change, it's on new things that are happening around you. How do you toe that line between being politically correct and also being correct in reporting on the information that's in reporting on the change that's happening around you?
A very good question again. The thing about information is, as I said, as a journalist, it's your responsibility to share information that is ethical, as well as, you know, information that is vital or that is something that can be useful. I mean, you take it anyway, it could be useful for your audience. It could be something that will help them take some decisions. So your job is, it's a very responsible job. It boils down to research, as I said. You have to be very thorough with what you are reporting. First, you set your base on your research, because nowadays, getting information is very easy. I mean, there are multiple mediums. So all the more, there could be a situation where you get information that may not be correct. So as a journalist, you learn that first thing is getting the right information, and then you channel it down to that information that needs to go to your audience. Work ethics is something which it's the driving force. So from there, if you break it down, you talk about industry knowledge. You know, that is something which is vital. So once you have the subject matter, or you have to become the subject matter expert. So that is where you channelize getting the right information, because nowadays getting information is very easy, and there are more chances of getting wrong information, because you don't know what is the source. So first and foremost, your source, if you're reporting, has to be credible, because for example, if you're doing a crime story, your information comes from people, it could be the police, it could be some law enforcement agency, it could be, some stringer, but these are people where you can get right information, rather than just, going on Google and seeking out an information from any unknown source is very, very risky. So you have to be very, very clear about your subject. If you are not a subject matter expert, you can't be an expert in everything. You have to learn. So that is where I said research. Research is very, very important. You have to do a lot of study. So that is where you establish yourself as a subject matter expert. I won't say expert is obviously, it's a long shot, but you understand the subject. That is where it all starts from. So then you get the right information. Then you break it down, as per what is a requirement. Now, politically correct, obviously, you have to be in a country like India, the kind of rules and regulations that have been put into the professional ecosystem, you have to abide by those rules, because this government is very strict, and it's fine. I mean, I understand, they have their own rules, and you can easily work through those channels. It's nothing difficult. Yes, there are certain adjustments you have to do, but as I said, if you know about the subject, that takes care of 50% of your work. So once you are thorough with your subject, you know where to draw the line, where not to cross, so that becomes easy. Yes, you have to, as an expert or as a professional, you have to draw the line, whether you're politically correct or you're going out of it. Being a fearless journalist and staying within the code of conduct is something I'll appreciate. That is very difficult to achieve, but you can. So as long as you are within the boundaries, it's fine. Ultimately, it's that information that goes out is crystal clear, yet, you know, there is nothing untoward about it.
I mean, doing your research also shows that you care, right, about what you report. You're not Absolutely. Just like, you know, reading on Google and reporting, like you have a personal investment in what you're showing to your audience.
I said journalism is called as a fourth pillar for nothing. Obviously, because your information is going out to the public and they are gaining that information. So it has to be something that is ethical, that is correct, and that is not a misinformation. So you have that responsibility to ensure that things fall in line. So that is where you have to care. This is not something you, I mean, 9-to-5 job, you do 2 stories and your day is over. You might stick to 1 story for 1 week for that matter, but then, you know, it has to come out right. You have to understand that at the end of the day, when the story is out, you know, yes, it's a job well done.
So you talk about work ethic. Yeah, so selfish question, because I've followed media for a while and every story has 2 sides to it, right? And it's all about perspectives. When you do research, how are you ensuring that bias doesn't creep in for you to take a side of a story that may not be favorable to your audience that you're trying to engage with? And so how do you ensure that you're always at the center?
Right, Karthik, actually in a perfect scenario, it's always the best to be in the center and take both sides. Yes, it's very crucial to hear all sides. It's not about 2 sides. There could be 10 sides to it. But at the end of it, you know, you have to present it in a way where you have something for each stakeholder. Be it, you know, it's the reader or someone who's helped you with the information. See, because at the end of it, when you're presenting something, suppose it's a serious story as a crime story and you present it in a way which pleases the audience, but it affects the person whom you're talking about. So then that's not the purpose being served. So it's ideal to take the center stage, but it doesn't happen always. Sometimes you are inclined towards your readers, knowingly or unknowingly. I won't say, and I won't get into the depth of it, but it happens. So, but we always try to take the middle path where we ensure that the core things have to be there, ethical, correct information, and it's put down in a way where it doesn't hurt the sentiments of any parties. But then sometimes, as I said, knowingly or unknowingly, it happens. It's tough. But then you try to hold the center.
Yeah. You know, this feels like a behind the scenes of what really goes on in a, like, almost like, I don't know if you've seen The Morning Show, and this is more interesting.
Is that important in today's age to engage your audience? Being in the same media space as you are, like you are in journalism, we are in more podcasting and video series and all of that.
It's a very selfish question.
It's a super selfish question. Can you take us behind your secrets of audience engagement? Because you do a lot of hard work, right? Everyone does a lot of hard work, but you want people to come consume your content to be like, okay, I learned something new today, or I got exposed to something that I didn't know existed in one corner of the country. So I'm just so curious, because again, it's selfish because everyone's trying to engage with their audience and get more pull and all of that.
I think I'll keep it crisp. Data always helps. Obviously, you know, at the end of it, it's the data that counts. How many people have viewed your story or the traction you pulled digitally, and when it comes to newspapers, the number of copies that have, you know, that went out for sale or sold, rather. You know, so these are the things that ultimately it's the execution. It's not the execution, it's the final result that counts. So data is very, very important, but then it's not everything. If you say planning, it's something, you know, gut. I would say, you know, there is, you have to leave it to your gut feeling at the end of it. As an editor or as a decision maker, there are a lot of data and information on, you know, a lot of things you can gain on your table, but it's your gut feeling as a decision maker that if there is X, Y, Z, I have to pick one. I will will go for that.
Tanmo, I feel like the time that we have with you is never going to be enough. This is such an interesting conversation. We can even have a series, I guess, about this. There's so many things going on in my mind. There are a few questions I want to ask before we end the interview. Not too many, just a couple. We've been doing this trend where our previous expert asks a question for the next expert. So the previous expert that we had on the show was Richard Salzman. He's a professor of political economy at Duke University and an entrepreneur for business forecasting. And his question to you is, he asked two questions. And I think it's very, I mean, he didn't even know who we are going to interview next, but I feel like it's very relevant to you.
How are you balancing all this with friends and romantic partners and recreation and things like that? Because we all know if we work too hard, if we work too much and we're not playing enough, so to speak, we're not going to be as happy. So if you need a question from me to your next guest.
Yep, I was going to ask. Yeah.
It would be, successful as you have been in commercial realm, and I'm assuming your guests have been, how do they balance and bring in the, call it the personal, romantic, friendship, recreation realm? Because I'm constantly dealing with the issue of, am I working too hard and not taking enough time off? But then when I take time off and I'm sitting on a beach, I think, well, this is kind of boring. I'm just sitting on a beach. So what's the point? And then I find myself during, you know, doing hang gliding or something like that. We do something active while we're doing those. So the balance thing interests me as well. I wonder if that comes up a lot.
Good question. Again, balance is something which you desire for as a journalist. I mean, you have to be balanced in your work. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. It's happened over the years. But yes, you know, you'll have to find your time out for your family. Because what happens is, as a journalist, especially when you start young in your career, it's a lot of hard work. There are days when you'll have to stay in the office for days. I remember in 2008 when the terror attack happened in Mumbai, I was in the office for 4 or 5 nights straight. I mean, there was no break. But then, you know, these are the things you have to cherish. In that time, it was too much pressure, or you know, you thought that probably you won't be able to handle it. But then, when you come out of it, you learn a lot. You know, your family also understands. Thankfully, nowadays, with the digital media coming in, it's not, I won't say workload has reduced. I mean, there is a lot of pressure always to perform and to get results. But then, you know, you have to give some time to your family and get to your hobbies. You know, what are the hobbies you have? Like, for me, it's reading. Catching up with some football match, you know, going out, meeting friends. So, you know, just stick to it and spend some time, quality time with your family over the weekend. If, you know, you don't have a weekend, probably do it sometime. But whenever you get a chance, it's very difficult to say for journalists, don't mingle your professional life with your family life. It always happens because, you know, you have to take calls at home. But then your family also understands. So, support from the family is very, very important. The support system is very important. And equally at work, when you should always be around positive people. See, positivity is very, very important. So I would say that you always have a positive mindset, things will be easy. You know, it's tough. You know, always there is, you know, that one more thing you have to achieve, you know, professionally, so that drives you ahead. But then when you have an understanding family, you know, you have your backs. That's very important. Have a good, positive ecosystem around you and always be positive. Yes, I've been able to find some time with my family. I mean, nowadays, you get weekends, but then they understand, so things have been easier.
And his second question, and I think this really ties into the first question. And I'm so glad that you are the next expert I'm asking this all to, because it makes more sense.
Would you ever retire?
I can never retire. I can't think of it. You know, this is something, a professional demanding occupation like sports. Obviously, you know, you physically, you can't exceed beyond certain age. But your mind is still sharp. So, for example, these cricketers or football players, when they are out of their professional journey as a player, they contribute in other ways. They become coach or they become experts because their brain and their instinct, everything is on that sport. So you just can't leave it. I mean, it's very difficult. So for me, even if, you know, I have to retire formally from any organization, say at the age of 60 or 58, whatever, but that's just retirement from that organization. I can never be generous. As I said, I retire from life. That's when my innings is going to end. Obviously, you know, touch wood, if physically and mentally I'm balanced, things will be okay. But then that is how you do it. It's true. And it's a learning process. You know, you are a student for your entire life. It's fabulous what people, senior citizens, learn and they contribute. You know, I mean, you're obviously aware the kind of stories we see, which is really sensational, which is really heartwarming. You know, so I mean, I will never end a journey like this. It's going to continue, and I hope to contribute much better way. So it's always a scope for improvement.
That's a great answer. I don't see myself retiring as well. And I thought that was a really great question to ask as well, because it really makes you think about it. So I'm going to ask you our last question, and then I'm going to ask if you have any questions for our next expert, right? So the last question that we always ask everyone is something that Kartik and I came up with when we first started the ITF project. And it's very interesting how everybody answers this question. So it's nice to go back and look at the different ways that people have answered this. What is your definition of success?
Success is, if I have to break it down into, I would rather break it down into two more steps. For me, success is that gives joy to other people around you, be it professionally or in your, you know, personal life. Success is fame. Obviously, it's fame. You know, that's something that gives you recognition. Success is your overall contribution to the society that helps in improving things. These are three things I can think of.
That's a great answer. I think at the end of the day, you are part of a larger community wherever you are. Contributing to it is very, very important. So thank you so much for joining us. And can you give us a question that you want to ask our next expert, not knowing who they are?
Thank you, Karthik and Nandini. It's always, you know, good to be doing something which you're not usually doing. So fantastic experience. Well, my question to your next guest is, what is professionalism? Being a professional, what do you think is your duty to your society? I think it's a longish question, but nevertheless, I think if you have some conversation.
No, that's a great question. Now, I think I know who my next expert is. So now I'm very curious to see how he's going to answer this. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Tanmoy. This was a great, great interview. And I love turning the tables on you. And yeah, I think it's great to talk to people who usually ask the questions.
It was fantastic, Karthik, Nandini. Thank you very much.